I believe this is the only time in the liturgical year that we read from the letter of Jude. It's a tiny letter. Has many mysterious qualities about it. Language, for one thing. But if you ponder this, if you have your Magnificat or something and read this, you see, while he's got a very acute teaching about sin, he also has a teaching about mercy. See, remember the words spoken beforehand by the apostles. See, that foundation of faith, the apostles' words, they were entrusted to articulate for us the mystery of the incarnation, the life, the death, the resurrection, the heavenly glory of Jesus Christ, who he really is. That's the preaching of the apostles, okay? And then build yourself up in your most holy faith. And then, advice which is so common, pray in the Holy Spirit. He doesn't just mean tongues, which is part of it. He means that all real prayer is animated by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't hurt when we go to prayer to first beg God, beg the Holy Spirit to come and move us with prayer. If I'd have thought of it, I could have brought a text down. It's John of the Cross. And he's saying, it is true that some people, all the movements of their inner faculties, their mind, their will, their emotions, their memory, are all under the aegis of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, all these are under our aegis. I'm standing here preaching because I think I'm supposed to. I'm sure hoping the Holy Spirit's going to help me. But that's not the same as being aware all the time of being moved by the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say, in an intense form, it doesn't last, that kind of awareness doesn't last a long time in this life, mostly at prayer. But it's what Jude is talking about. Let's try to be normal. You know, God dwells in us. The Holy Spirit dwells in us in this rush of love back to the Father. That's the prayer he says, right? Abba. Let's see if we can't get in touch with that. Stop being dominated by our minds, our emotions, our memories, our physical drives. Let's get under the aegis of the Holy Spirit. Now, in the Gospel, as we move along in Mark, this part here is right after the cleansing of the temple. So the officials want to know, by what authority are you doing these things like that? Driving people out of the temple. And our Lord gives them one more chance. He appeals to John. John's baptism, was it of heavenly or earthly origin? He's trying to raise their minds to God. Does God act among us or not? Was that man being sent by God or not? And if he was, then why didn't you listen to him? You see, this our Lord is throwing it all back on the challenge of John. Does anybody come from God? Is anybody sent by God? Well then, Maybe John was. And why don't you think about that? What did he do except change the lives of thousands of our fellow countrymen? Could that be from any place but God? So our Lord is building on the witness of the Baptist. And he knows he's put them in a dilemma. So they have a chance to say, well, it was from God. Well, then, didn't he witness to me? He could lead them along. And the only reason they say it's just human is not because of any fear of God, but just fear of the people standing around who had such admiration for John. They'd be discredited. So they say, we don't know. Now we could look at places in our own life. Was that from God? Then why didn't you do it? Was that movement toward forgiveness? That movement toward talking to somebody in the grocery store? Was that from God? Then why didn't you do it? An approach normality. You see, a normal Christian is moved constantly by the Holy Spirit. Interesting. I don't know why, but I'm going to tell you a story about Catherine of Siena, which I think I've told you before. There was a young man in jail for murder. And Catherine went to see him. And he was hard, his heart is just, he just laughed at her. He kept coming back. I mean, he knew he'd already been condemned to death. He was going to have go to the guillotine. He knew that. But he was so hard. He laughed at her. She kept coming back. She didn't quit. Finally, she won him over. And he repented for his sin, went to confession, offered up his life in reparation for what he'd done, ready to go. So the day of the execution, she walked right along with him. You know, executions in those days are like NFL today, you know. Just go someplace where you're going to see violence. And so she walked right along with him. Well, this is an Italian crowd, right? So who's your girlfriend? I mean, it's not going to be fun. She got there with him, and he got very frightened. So she walked up onto the scaffold with him. And he knelt down, and he was frightened. So she knelt beside him, took her head, his head, held it against her chest, and held him there while they cut his head off. Now, who inspired her to do that? The Holy Spirit. Let that man die in an act of love with her help. And give a witness, as this letter of Jude does. Yes, be tough on those who are wrong, disturbing, and so forth. But it says, do it in love and wait for the mercy of God.